You are tuned to The Record from KUOW Seattle. I'm Steve Scherr.
And I'm Ross Reynolds. Seattle's Capitol Hill is one of the city's hipster havens. But back in the mid-60s, Capitol Hill's north end was less hip and more large Catholic families. Matt Smith was born to one of those families. Smith is a Seattle actor. He's created several one-man shows with the help of director Brett Fetzer.
One of those shows, My Last Year with the Nuns, tells the story of Matt's eighth grade year at St. Joseph's School. It's also the story of racial and gender divides. Fetzer and Smith have turned the film into a play, turned a play into a film. It premieres tonight as part of the Seattle International Film Festival. Marcy Silman met Matt Smith on Capitol Hill.
Tell me where we're standing, Matt.
We are now in front of St. Joseph's Church on the corner of 18th and Aloha on Capitol Hill.
And how far away from this church did you grow up?
I grew up about one, two, three blocks.
This is the neighborhood that Capitol Hill, that a lot of people identify with hipsters. What was this neighborhood like in 1966?
Well, in 66, it was different. It was from Roy Street all the way down to Gaylor or so, and 15th to 23rd. It was virtually all Catholic, mostly white Catholic. Families that had about average six kids per family, maybe not quite, but there was like that, up to 17. It was not uncommon for 12 kids in a family.
So all these big, beautiful houses were actually big because they had to house lots of kids.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to tell these stories in college, and a lot of us went to Western up in Bellingham. And this one friend of ours came back, and she thought, "You guys are just a bunch of liars," because we made it sound like we from the wrong side of the tracks. And she came, and she saw these big, huge houses, you know, like on 16th and stuff. So, that's what it was like.
This play deals pretty strongly with a practice that doesn't exist anymore: redlining.
Roy Street was redline. Some people don't even know what it means.
Well, what does it mean?
Well, it was a line that was drawn by the bank, as I understand it. So if you were a person of color, then you could not get a loan to buy a house on this side of the line. And I even talked to some people, some African-American Catholics, and they said, oh, yeah, when we came to town, they showed us where to go on Lee Street, just on the other side of the line. A lot of the play takes place at the Paper Shack, which is right across the street from Meany Junior High, which is on the other side of the red line. And it was one of the few places where black and white kids would commiserate.
This is set in 1966. Tell me about that, why that year in particular.
Because I was in the eighth grade. I say in the play that on my first date with my wife, I told her that the eighth grade was the best year of my life. And now she wishes she had been paying attention. Because I still have that kind of mentality. It's more than being about Catholic and more about anything else. It's about being a adolescent boy uniquely at that time, which was a time. It's an interesting time in 1966 for boys. I went to the grade school reunion of a class ahead of me, and there are certain times when there are shifts. I can see it in my older brother. That's my sister who graduated from high school in 62, and my brother who graduated in 64, and there are generational shifts there, but I think because of the war and attitudes and LSD and things like that. And I think there's another one. The year ahead of me, I just noticed as I was thinking about it that they were the last class that had to learn 100% Latin as altar boys, and they were the last class who actually sent anybody to Vietnam. We had the threat of it in my year, but we didn't have, but nobody went that was born in 53 or even 52, I think.
It was a dividing line. No, it was not just the red line geographically, but this was sort of a psychic red line for America.
It really was. Everything was changing, including at Seattle Prep the next year. They were still beating us as part of the discipline, but it wasn't making any sense anymore. You know, it was at a time where everybody knew this is, they don't do this anymore. It was a shifting time, and you know, 8 years before, it was just, that's the way it is.
When did you get the idea, maybe it wasn't you, but when did you get the idea that it should be a film?
That was Michael Syrah's idea. He used to run Northwest Film Forum. He's produced a lot of films. Now he works for Capitol Hill Housing, and he just had an itch. He said he wanted to direct a film, and this suited the scope and size.
What did you say when he said, hey, Matt, let's make your one-man show into a movie?
I said, I don't know. I didn't really jump at it. I thought, well, you know, that's not what I'm doing right now. And, you know, I don't know. And my original idea was, well, let's just make a really good film of a performance, you know, with three cameras and stuff like that. And now that I see the film, it's the work I do in the theater is so weak compared to what you get when you move it on. It really is impressive. I mean to me, because it's some little monologues, a 60-year-old guy talking for 7.5 minutes, but it really helped to bring it to all these places with the animation and music and all these.
But you didn't change the general story that you tell.
We didn't change any of it. We cut it, some of it.
What is it like for you to be in this place that you spent those formative years?
I never lost contact with the house because my mom's been there. We live with Betty, my mom now. But so what's it like going back? Well, it's a great neighborhood. I mean, I knew it was a great neighborhood, but for very different reasons. I knew it was because it was feral. Just no adult supervision. I mean, kids supervise themselves, and it worked, basically. Coming back, it's it's sterile compared to what it was. But the location of this place is just incredible. I mean, like the walk I do, I'd walk on my old paper route, which is on by other paths, just the other side of Gaylor. And I go into the ravine in Lake and Park, and there's this muddy switchback that used to be a terrorizing place to go, but it's not anymore. It's a trail. And up by the Bruce Lee Cemetery and around, it's just a great place to hang out.
You've spent a lot of time now with this material. You said you started thinking about it for this Western Washington University class. And how do you feel about the kid that you were describing then, or the conglomeration of kids and that era and how people thought about things?
That's a really good question. I try to stay true to the stream of consciousness of that kid. We did everything we could to make it clear that when stuff comes up, like using the N-word, there was a lot that went into that part of it. And in the end, so if I'm going to tell the story, I'm going to tell the true story the way I think it really needs to be told. And so that's why it's there. So it's very complicated to look back and these homophobic, racist, crude, misogynist boys were just basically trying to survive. And he's kind of an irresistible kid who's awful. I've done this piece in a lot of places, and the one comment I get, like I did it in New Mexico, and these two women came up, and they teach eighth graders on the reservation down there, and they said, I nailed it. Like in the eighth grade, I made a real effort to learn the filthiest, awfulest things that I could, because somehow it was an identity thing. And it's still part of me. It doesn't go away. You can't really get rid of it. You can process it. But it's part of this core of how I kind of survive.
That's performer and writer Matt Smith. He spoke to Marcy Silman, the film of his one-man show, My Last Year with the Nuns, directed by Brett Fetzer, premieres tonight as part of the Seattle International Film Festival.